In his hand was a gleaming, snub-nosed, hammerless revolver pointed at Rick's midriff.
"I know it's late," the man said pleasantly, "but may I come in?"
He walked through the door, and Rick backed away to make room.
"Are you Fuad Mustafa?"
he asked shakily. The man smiled.
"I have not that honor. You have never seen a Mustafa, or you would not ask. They are famous for the biggest noses and mustaches in the Republic. I could have lied, but it is my pride that I never lie. My identity is not important."
"What do you want?" Rick asked.
He kept backing away because he wanted desperately for the man to follow. That would give Scotty a chance to move in from behind.
"I think you know what I want. A small and unimportant piece of plastic in the shape of a cat."
"Why is the cat so important?" Rick asked.
"It is not important. You may believe this. However, for reasons I shall not disclose, it has certain elements of value to a few people."
"Sentimental value?" Rick asked. He was stalling.
"It depends on what one is sentimental about. I have no sentimental attachment to this object. I merely want it. Now, my time is short. I was fortunate to find a porter gone, but he will doubtless return. The cat, my young friend, and quickly."
Scotty moved from the bathroom on silent bare feet, and even as his pal moved, Rick saw the object in his hand. It was a nail file.
Scotty stepped close and his hand moved. The stranger stiffened.
"That's a knife in your back," Scotty said. "Drop the gun." The revolver muzzle never faltered.
"An interesting stalemate," the man said calmly. "You can thrust, but no matter how fast you are, I can shoot. So if I die, so does your friend. Now, since you created the situation, how are you going to get out of it? Or did I create it through my careless eagerness? I was so pleased to find the hall empty that I forgot there were two of you."
"No matter," Scotty informed him. "We can stand like this until help comes."
"Then you expect someone. And make no mistake, I will not be taken. If necessary, I will end a stalemate with a shot and take my chances with the knife. It is even possible I will get both of you."
Rick was watching the man's face closely. He was not bluffing. There was no sign of sweat or nervousness. He knew the situation exactly and was prepared to deal with it. The boy reached the decision.
"Drop it, Scotty," he commanded.
"Pull back and come around so we can see you. I'm going to give him the cat."
"Don't," Scotty exclaimed. "Don't, Rick."
"I'm going to give him the cat," Rick repeated. "It isn't worth bloodshed. Now cooperate, will you?"
Scotty drew back and walked around so the stranger could see him. With a gesture of disgust, he threw the nail file on one of the twin beds. The stranger smiled his appreciation.
"A very good try. It would have worked, no doubt, on a less experienced man. And now, Mr. Brandt, where is the cat?"
"In my pocket, in the wardrobe."
The gun muzzle waved Scotty to the window at the far end of the room.
"Out of reach, if you please. I will cover Mr. Brandt just to be sure that it is not a weapon that he has in his pocket."
Scotty obeyed, scowling. Rick led the way to the wardrobe. Moving slowly and carefully, he got the concrete kitten and held it up.
"Excellent. I see the hotel has provided you with a newspaper. Please use it to wrap the cat."
Rick did so and handed it over.
"Thank you. I appreciate your cooperation since I am a man who detests unnecessary violence. You have acted wisely."
He backed to the door, opened it, and closed it behind him.